Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the weekend podcast. It's episode 493. I'm joined by two fellow human beings. They're male. Well, I think they are. It's Pete and Steve. You're right, fellas.
Hello.
Hello.
And Steve, I've got to say, well done.
Thank you very much.
That's all right. And Pete, well done.
Thanks very much.
First of all, I'm saying well done to Steve, because I did check out your recommendation, Billions. Damian Lewis stars that in Sky Atlantic. And I got to say, I've watched the first two episodes, Steve, and I quite like...
Hang on a minute. I thought you said you weren't going to watch it and you had no interest in factual drama.
It's not factual drama, is it? It can't be factual drama,
well,
can it?
Drama then, sorry.
Maybe it can be drama. Because it's based on, you know, it's hedge fund, isn't it? Who are spectacularly outperforming to the point where the DA's office have investigated. But he's a guy who's like, he's done good for a local charity. But apparently, 9/11, you know, when that happened, a lot of his company got taken out. He's one of the only survivors. But he's helped, hasn't he? Helped like all the siblings, all the sons and daughters of all the victims, his colleagues that perished in that. He sort of helped them out, brought them into the company. Now he's the big man, and they're outperforming the market completely. So he's really like a hero, you know. Most Wall Street people aren't liked by the mainstream press, but he's seen as a, you know, an everyday hero who's helped out people with his money and stuff. And he is, you know, he's earning billions. But, you know, he's doing so well, you think, well, how can he be outperforming this well? And so there's now a DA is threatening to take him down. I've got to say, I was quite shocked by the first scene there. It's a scene of almost S&M, you know? And
sales and marketing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I can't describe the rest of it anyway. Have you checked it out, Pete?
No. What's it called?
It's called Billions. Billions. As in, because he's a billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
And it's starring you know, Damian Lewis, of course. And I haven't caught up on the third one. I tell you another thing I watched, which I highly recommend you watch, actually. It's called The Queen of Versailles. Now, before you think, oh, my history, rubbish. Louis the 14th and all that stuff, Marie Antoinette. No, it's not that. It's about it's a lady and a fella in America, the biggest timeshare people in America. They had like 28... massive timeshare, including Las Vegas, 28 sort of estates, really, and all these estates had quite a few hundred, you know, plots on them, and they were massive, and they were building the biggest house in America. And the thing is, they saw the Versailles Palace in France, so that's what we want. So they decided to build that in America, biggest private house. It's got about 19 bathrooms. It's just ridiculous. But halfway through this, the financial crash happens, and so almost, you know, everything goes, you know, backward, basically. I was going to swear then, but it's worth watching because They're absolutely, it's, and I tell you, obviously, the one thing you'll notice about the lady, she was a sort of a Miss America. The guy was a Wall Street guy. He's 30 years older than her. But the one thing you notice, even though they're losing money and they have to start, you know, shutting down everything, selling everything, and they're in panic mode, the banks are pulling everything in, her breasts get larger every scene. It's like, and she's obviously still affording to have plastic surgery. It's phenomenal.
You think, well, I'm not going to lie, I was slightly swishing off then until five seconds ago.
Yeah, almost like as their assets are depreciating, hers are appreciating, you know?
It's a metaphor.
Yeah, but it's odd because this is how rich they are. They catch a plane during the financial crash to her hometown to see her best friend, who's just a normal sort of, you know, everyday person there. And they get on a plane. First time they've ever been on a commercial plane. She's got nine kids. They're about 19 nannies and helps. And they get on a commercial plane. And one of the kids says, "What are all these people doing on our plane?" Because they've never been on a commercial plane before. And then they go to hire a car at Hertz, at the Hertz desk. And she's just looking through her thing, getting documents out. And she's, "Right, and who's my driver?" And the Hertz guy went, "What? Well, my driver." And he's like, he doesn't know what she means. And she's, "Oh, right, I drive myself? Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine." And it does it. That's how, you know, for years they've been living, you know, the billionaire's lifestyle. And now they are, you know, I mean, they're at this house. It costs them, they're put up for sale for 100 million, this Versailles, half done. 100 million they're selling it for in the crash, as it was. That's finished, but they'll sell it for 75 million as it is. The banks just said, "Sell it for 15 million. We want the money." So, you know, for 75 million, they think it's worth. To 15 million, and they've got a massive place in Las Vegas called Westgate, I think. It's a massive sign. It's a big blue, horrible building. And at the start, there, you hate them to a certain extent, but I mean, you sort of warm them because they do face up to it in a certain way. The kids have to change the way they are. It's worth watching anyway.
Is it a true story?
Yeah, of course, it's a true story, yeah. It's it's on archive there on BBC iPlayer called The Queen of Versailles. It's worth watching that.
Wow, okay.
Anyway, let's get us two TV recommendations. Maybe you have a new feature here. You know, financially based recommendations there. That's all is allowed, all right? Okay. Well, how many episodes of Billions of the Bean, Steve? I'm fighting with the TV with the missus.
Well, do you know, this is what I don't understand, because Sky Atlantic it's only available for download, so you just download it. There's no adverts, so I'm not sure how they're making money out of that at all.
Well, he's obviously making money for them, isn't he? Through the hedge fund.
I think it's about 12 episodes. I think I'm on number 8 now, so...
Ooh, look at
nailing
you.
Nailing through them.
Yeah, you're nailing through them. What does that mean? I have mixed metaphors there. I am nailing through them. Right, so chatting this week. What are you chatting about? Stocks-wise? I'll just look at my portf and see what I got here. So I'm looking at...
As we look, Motive Bio is rocketing at the moment.
Is it?
Mm. It's gone up by 2% in the last couple of minutes.
I'll tell you what that is. And if you listen to the Friday podcast, I did give you a reason why.
Well, really need to be honest. Although I haven't listened to your podcast this week. I've been very busy. Very busy, Justin.
What have you been doing?
Working.
I've been making cups of tea for myself, trying on different bits of underwear.
But I've been hearing in the news about the penicillin kind of situation, and it's actually been so the fact it's been going in the normal news must be going up.
The normal news. We watch the normal news
as opposed to the financial news.
Yeah, but the thing is, what's his name? I can't think of his name now, but he's a well-known financier, economist, and he termed BRICS as the coin for emerging companies. And Steve's gone, is he?
Pete,
what is he doing? Peter,
is he even? Is he in Devon today?
No, I don't know where he is. He's he's just gone. Add him again. God, he's a. He's still there. He's showing he's still there.
No, he's disappeared now. He's hung up.
He was. He obviously took offence to
you. Oh, there he is.
Peter!
He's there. I can hear him.
Peter! Call from... Oh, I'll add him. He'd be like a simpleton. Hang on. Peter. I forgot where we were now. What's he doing? Ad. I don't know, he's probably in Devon, isn't he? On the end of a, you know, a piece cup. Of string. And a cup, yeah. But, oh, he's simple. Anyway, what do you think? Yes. So Jim, this guy's an economics guy, and he did a report this week on antibiotics, right? And they are very unrepresentative. Basically, it's like we know if Pete.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I think my broadband just fell out, and it's come back in again. There we are.
Your broadband's fallen out, is it?
Yeah.
Pack it just, back in then. Pack it back in.
I push it back in and it's on. There we go.
Yeah, so I'm just talking about this guy. I'm just boring. I'm repeating myself. Yeah, essentially, in 10 years' time, if no new antibiotics are discovered or formed or created, we'll all die of small, tiny little infections, Because that's... and the big pharma guys are not dedicating any of the time to... Because there's low margins on them. They're not very expensive. So only smaller companies can really... It's profitable for them, you know? So he was saying... It comes to a stage where we should tax big farmers' companies to get involved in this area. So, see, it's an urgent need for antibiotics. And look at Motive Bio, that's what they're about. That's why they've had a rise, Pete, Steve, you see? Mm. Do you own Motive Bio, Pete?
No, I have not invested in Motive Bio.
Okay. And other stocks this week, Advanced Oncotherapy doing well. AVO, Peter.
Yes.
Give us the lowdown. Why is that? I'm looking at the chart here. And I did have a limit order in for these to buy some more.
Is that the one you had ages ago?
Yeah. And I had a limit order in these for 6 pence, and they got down to about 6.1 pence, and started rising, and then gapped up. And tell us the reason, Peter. It's up to 8 pence now. Tell us why. First of all, give us a lowdown as to why Advanced Oncotherapy is about. Then tell us about a bit about them. Then give us the three reasons why we should put them on our watch list.
I'm not the chief exec. All right. I'm sure regular listeners will know because we've banged on about enough. But protein beam therapy for the treatment of cancer. These guys are developing a protein beam therapy machine that will be a fraction of the size of the traditional machines. And they're developing it in the CERN facility down there in Switzerland where the Hadron Collider is.
Is it next to that? Have they got room, just a room next to it? Or is it in a different room?
Yeah, no, it's in room 349.
Do you mind if I build my proton beam machine right here next to your collider?
Yeah.
You've got to be a room in a corner of a room.
We're just building a cancer machine here, yes. So
it's not a cancer machine, is it really?
I
don't think they get much investment if they said, right, we've got this new cancer machine, it's cracking. See how small it is compared to the other ones? Go on, anyway.
Yeah, so the big news this week was that they've secured funding for their Harley Street setup facility, that's a better word. But it's interesting though, once you start digging into the actual detail, because it's 24 million, I think, that the agreed sort of funding was, but only sort of 11 million is immediate, and then the other is on the condition of Advanced Oncotherapy raising money as well. So it's a sort of part. So it's not as amazing, perhaps, as you'd think it would be, which is perhaps why the share price has risen, but not dramatically, because they're further down the line, at some point, somehow they're going to have to get some other funding, be it by placing or whatever, I guess. I don't know. But certainly, it's all going in the right direction. It is groundbreaking, and whereas the current machines cost 200, 300 million or whatever, these things are going to be a tenth of that. So the potential for these machines to be sold worldwide in the years to come is hopefully very good. And the story has been a long one, and like Steve was saying, it is about 18 months ago since we first chatted about it. But it's a good example of patience, isn't it? You've just got to believe the story. If the financials are good, if the company is good, then a bit like our friend Asia Met, which has been having a bit of a tumble recently, but there's a good story there, and people are just getting bored and selling out. But if you believe in the story, and if there are buying opportunities, it's worth getting in, isn't it? And over the next how many years, it hopefully will be 50 years. It'll be a profitable share to be in.
It's a good example of patience, and literally in 2 meters of wood, because they need patience to operate the machines, don't they?
Very good.
I think it was a first major bit of news they've had since those deals they signed in China, their proton beam machine. Look at our nice new proton beam machine. It's smaller than the original, it costs less.
Yeah,
more accurate. It's almost too good to be true, isn't it? I'm not talking it down anyway, but the smaller machines, they're more accurate and they're cheaper. How does that work then? But it just shows you the what's called the procurement process for the, you know, these companies like NHS. It takes for years. Yeah. I remember speaking to Sanjeev, I think it was it on that podcast, when he said, yeah, but the thing is, the next 2 years now, that's it for the NHS. We have to wait now for 2 years, but luckily they're not in production until then anyway, so that's hopefully going to be good. But yeah, so you know, they're cutting edge there. They should do well. Steve, any topics to be looking at? Any things you're looking at this week?
Not really, no.
Lovely. What I don't understand, right? On the Friday podcast, I had I do a feature called A Penny Stock with Potential. You know,
yes.
And on Fridays, the Penny Stock with Potential was Asia Met, and that was suggested by Tony Menini.
Okay,
that's what it said.
Bit biased, isn't it?
No, but it's the same as them coming on, isn't it? Really, and same. But I don't know if it is Tony Menini. But the level of detail given in that, if you look at it, the level of detail given in that little piece there was phenomenal. But what I don't understand there, right, is that they are going to be doing some feasibility study, infill drilling as well. And what happens is they're going to, hopefully, the resource will be upgraded that they've got there, expand the life of the mine, and so it'll be a lot more, worth of copper there financially. Plus, they've also had a tax rebate of $1 million bucks. Right? Now, you'd think that would have a significant, jump in the share price, positive effect on the share price. But it didn't. It jumped up and came back down. So something's happening here. But listen, like I said, it's patience. This is where we know the story. Like, we know the fundamentals here. They've got cash. And we know the copper market's going to be in deficit in a couple of years' time. This is the time. This is why you need, you need to automate your trades. Because if you just chuck it, like that massive rise it has, when it came back from that, and then all some people piled in a bit, went back up and then came back down again, you're underwater again. But if you just calmly put in little limit orders, see every 10% down, taking up a little bit. Oh, by the way, I've had another email from the guy I normally have an email from.
Oh, yeah.
And so what did he say? He said, let me scroll down here. Yeah, in fact, his name is Hi, Justin. Still have the order in at 10%? Some okay news this week.
Yep.
That's all he does, is email me every time there's a little dip in Asia Met shares. He just emails me.
I might start doing that. Hey, everybody do it. Everybody email Justin and ask him if he's still in Asia Met.
And I think, I don't know if this guy is panicking at all, but you realise when market sentiment is like this, it's time to pick him up, isn't it? Pick him up, They're on the floor. So I don't know who it was, and I mentioned this before. There's some kind of investor sits there, does a bit of research in a company, and waits for the opportunity to present itself. Because it does. The market will sell off twice a year, pretty much. You'd have a cracking sell-off twice a year. That's when you just get into it and think, right, this is the time to jump in. And patience, then top up as you go along.
I have a question about that. Well, not really a question. I don't think there's an answer to it, really. So it's not really a question. But here you go. There's a couple of shares that I know you've spoken about and I haven't got into, namely Coovs and Barclay Echeer, which you like saying. Because when you were talking about it at the time, I didn't really have available funds to sort of really put into it. But my question is... I've been watching.
What is your question?
My question is, when you've been watching something like that and you want to get into it, perhaps you didn't have available funds when there was a good entry price. Let's take Coovs now. It's got hot above sort of 30p or whatever, isn't it? And what do you do? I want to buy into that, but at what point?
It's too late, Pete.
Do I hold back?
That's the answer. The answer is too late, Pete.
I've asked this question before on other stocks, I'm sure, but it's kind of like when you... I can't be the only private investor that doesn't have available funds, then has available funds and kind of goes, I wanted to be in that stock, but I can't be in that stock. What do you do? Just wait 6 months and hope that it does do an Asian Met and sort of come back quite a lot and then buy
in? This is what you do. You sit there, you think, I haven't got any available funds. It's not rising that much. It's okay. I haven't got any available funds. It's not rising. It's okay. It's not rising yet. It's not rising yet. I'm fine. Oh, it's risen. Oh! And then you go, now I've got available funds.
I'm not Chinese.
Pete, think of Jack and Jill. They'll always come back down the hill.
That's it.
Whoa.
That's another page of Steve's book there on investing done.
Yep.
This is what I think, and this is quite controversial.
Yeah.
Do you know what? in the week, the reason why they went up, pretty much, the gap.
Which one? Couves?
Couves, yeah. Is that the HT Media in India.
Yes.
Media. Yeah, media. I do love the Indian accent. It's an amazing accent.
Yeah.
And people say, you do the Indian accent, it's racist. Why is it? People do the Welsh accent, they're racist. It's only being derogatory, it's not racist.
Allowed.
No, it's a, so, Coops India, HT Media, right? And, yeah. And they are, they've got a turnover of $366 million. They made a profit of like 30-odd million last year. They're quite a big company, you know? They put $3 million into Couves as an investment. Now, if you think about Couves, right, it's in India. Now, ASOS is all around the world. The logistics of ASOS, and pretty much it's a reflection of ASOS, but it's based in India. Now, I don't know what the available market size or audience of ASOS is. It's not all over the world. But it can't be far. I mean, Couves can't be far away from, because they have 1.5 billion, 1.3 billion in India. People, that's a heck of a marketplace, right? A growing middle class, and it's all in one country. So the logistics of supplying to that country are a lot easier than supplying all over the world, aren't they? So you can understand, you know, that I think the margins will be better. There's a potential better business model here in India than it is for ASOS. So first and foremost, ASOS could take them out. But also, listen, Lord Wahid Ali, right? The Indians love the English sort of sort of traditions and titles. Now, Lord Wahid Ali, he's probably a god over there. Before, he's a multimillionaire now. He's a lord as well. Mm. And he's got a business focused now, chosen to focus in India. There'll be people throwing money at him, especially if it's starting to work, you know, starting to go.
As the market, he put quite a chunk of his own money in.
Oh, he put about $6 million in, yeah. So he's put $6 million.
What sort of share price was that?
Yeah, 25 pence.
Okay.
Yes. So, you know, but this spike, it will come back. But when it comes back, you think, oh, it's not going to work. Maybe they'll have an update that won't be as sparkling as everything's. But you know the potential is there. And, you know, it will. It's just having patience, but it's not losing the money. But what's happening? What'll happen is, probably, Pete, you'll invest in something else in the meantime.
Yeah.
And then when they come back down, you go, oh, I'm going to need available funds.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to need available funds.
It's
now.
Timing, isn't it? It's very difficult to actually get that, obviously, so it all lines up. But and that's why I said there probably isn't an answer. But it's, the same with Barclays and Lahir.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? I mean, you can see what's happening with Barclays. There's some big boys, BlackRock, right?
Yeah.
You know, one of the biggest investment houses in the world, funds they have under management, is probably the biggest in the world, you know?
They're and Steve there. As well. Steve's in that, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you in that, Steve?
Yeah.
BlackRock and Steve.
Oh, right. No, I'm not in that one. Sorry.
You said you were yesterday, last week.
Barclay.
Steve has no idea what you're talking about, are you?
Berkeley.
I don't know. Am I in that? I am in Berkeley. Sorry, yeah. Oh, I thought, I got some money in that.
He's probably got $100,000 in.
Okay. You know what? I'm 3.7% up on that at the moment. Yeah.
There we go. Perfect.
There we are. What do you use? Are you still using Harry and Larry?
Harry and Larry.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do you know what? I just think that's one on a pullback to have. I bought a bit more of that. I bought a bit more of Couves, actually. I didn't mean to, but a trailing order in Dubai, and it bought them on the rise on Friday. But I'm up. I'm up like over. Well, I bought them at 15, nearly 16 pence, and they double that now.
Because of your bottomless pit of money, you never have a problem of not having any available funds, do you?
Well, no, I have had that problem, but I try and avoid it now, you know? I always keep a little bit of cash.
Always keep a nice 50 grand aside.
Always keep a nice chunk of cash aside, just in case, you know? And like in case of now, Asia Met. We know how that spikes. It spikes, you know? And it will spike. When there's some chunky news coming out, and there will be, it'll jump up again, but always keep topping up a little bit. And the opportunity, obviously, keep that within your risk reward, your portfolio risk management structure. But it'll always happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
What are you guys doing on the bank holiday weekend?
I haven't got a huge amount of plans, actually.
You've got a huge amount of plans, right?
No.
Steve, have you got a huge amount of plans?
I'm going to buy some clothes from Couves.
Yeah. From the Indian market, yeah?
That wouldn't be very cost-effective getting it from India, I don't think.
No, I just like the style.
Where do you buy your clothes, Steve?
Funny enough, I went up to... I was up in North Wales. I went to Cheshire Oaks and blasted a fortune up there.
What were you doing up there?
I was working, doing a job up there. So in fact, right next to Cheshire Oaks, I thought I'd pop into the outlet mall.
I don't know what Cheshire Oaks is.
Cheshire Oaks is an outlet mall.
Well, you said that. Have you heard of that, Pete?
I have heard of it.
It's one of the bigger ones in the UK, right. Basically. It's huge.
Is it? Where did you buy that thing?
I spent a lot of stuff in different stores. I won't mention any brands.
Why?
We don't want to influence their share price.
Doesn't really matter, does it? No, I spent a lot in Ralph Lauren.
Look at Steve in a bit of cash there. Ralph Lauren.
Ted Baker and Superdry.
Cool, look at you, Ted and Ralph. All there, were they?
Was Ted there? That's a bar show, isn't it?
Ted and Ralph. It is a bar show. Ted and Ralph. not big designers, are they? Ted, you what, Ralph? What are you designing this year then, Ted? Or not Ralph, be honest. I don't know, anything else to chat about, Ted? What's going on there?
What are your plans for the weekend, Just?
Well, I'm going to have a barbecue. This is the thing, you know. Did you get
the invite, Pete?
No. Nope.
Listen.
No, nope, not that.
How do you determine a barbecue? Do you think, I've heard people criticise gas barbecues. What do you think?
No.
Gas or charcoal?
I used to criticise them, but I'm going to move to gas in the next few years.
Next few years? That's the way. It's a really easy transition period there. Next couple of years, just in case, you know, I'm not happy with it. I'll buy one and I'll keep the receipt. I'll use it, and then if I'm not happy, I'll just take it back after a couple of years. So what are you using at the moment then, Steve?
I don't have a barbecue. The legs fell off.
So you're transitioning. So the next 2 years, you're going to have nothing, but you will be transitioning to gas in the next 2 years.
Yes.
I'm glad. See, it's all like, he's less steady, isn't he, Steve? Doesn't make any rash decisions. Unlike his investments, where he just buys and doesn't know what the heck he's buying.
Yeah. And what I love is he's planning ahead in the next couple of years.
Well, I know what barbecue I want. I want a specific Weber one, a nice gas one, but it's about 300 quid, so I can't bring myself to buy it at the moment.
Why are you buying?
And also, I don't really have any barbecues, so it'll kind of be a bit of a waste of money.
Yeah, but Steve, I wouldn't go. Why are you going for Weber? This is a brand name, isn't it? All they are is tin, stainless steel, with the gas thing, and they're all the same, aren't they?
No, these ones are much more. They last a lot longer and like outside, they don't rust.
We got a Weber, normal charcoal Weber thing, and it's very clever because it has a thing in the middle where you stick the charcoal in the start and it all lights really quickly and works really well, and then you just release the hot coals and there you go, barbecue ready. So it's just as good as gas, but you get an authentic barbecue,
Some people say gas is cheating.
I think it is. It is cheating.
Well, no, the originally, yes, but as we've evolved, we've moved on. Because what barbecue is, and I, when you cook sausages or burgers in your grill, you have to open the door, don't you?
Yes.
Otherwise, it'll get smoked up and catches on fire and catches your grill on fire. But barbecue is literally cooking with smoke. So as long as you can put the top on, that's all it is, you know? Cooking with smoke.
Yeah. No, it's slightly different, isn't it? When it's over an open, a naked flame compared to just a gas flame. It's different.
I remember being in South Africa once on holidays, and they call it a braai, don't they? Is it a braai? It's Africa, a braai. It's called barbecue braai. 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 They call it a braai, yeah? I do not go for South Africa, yeah? And they call it a braai. And I had this barbecue in the back of this house we had rented, and I couldn't get it going. And I put everything in it. And they had these little chippings, you know, on the floor, like log chippings. It turns out they're not flammable. I was chucking loads in there. I was chucking everything. I was getting branches.
The fire retardant.
In the end, the people I was with, the three other people there, gave up and went inside to have something to eat. And I stuck at it. And by about midnight, after putting one of my T-shirts on the barbecue, I got it going. And then no one else wanted to eat. So I don't know.
I'm not surprised if they see you.
Yeah, a T-shirt. And it's a T-shirt that I've been wearing on the beach last couple of days. I said, I'm not wearing that. But I had to actually put a T-shirt on. I got it going. I was all right. I had so much drink, though. I didn't know. By the time I got it going, I was seeing triple, you know. I was stumbling around. I took my T-shirt off. I chucked this on. I was chucking everything on. The next thing would have been my shorts and pants. Trainers. A lot, but I got to go in. I got the fire going, and it's nice having a fire in there, you know.
Yes.
Something else, the idiot lantern. Anyway, anything else talking about? I'm not looking at any shares.
I was going to ask about Atlas African Industries because they seem to have gone down quite a bit recently.
Yes. Do you still hold them?
He's only gone to the bitter end.
Steve, are you still holding them?
Yeah.
Why are you holding them?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
He doesn't know what else to do with them.
Have you sold out of yours, Yes.
We had this conversation about 2 weeks ago on the podcast.
Oh, God, yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that they've compounded problem on problem. First of all, they're in the gas and oil sector in Kenya
Africa,
or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that fell through, so they diversified to making a bottling plant in Ethiopia. What it's insane, that is, you know. They've gone from oil and gas support to a bottling plant in Ethiopia. All right, so you've got plenty of expertise there, and then all of a sudden it turns out that someone's nicked some of their money down from their bank account, or the state has, for tax purposes, taken any money they had off them. They've got no money, no assets whatsoever, apart from your holding, Steve.
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay, you'll be invited to the AGM, Steve.
I think even you, even the CEO is probably sold out. Just you at the AGM on your own, sitting there saying, "Why did you buy them? I've no idea, really. Why did you sell them? No idea."
Steve, my advice to you is get over to Nairobi or wherever, and go and kick up a fuss.
I don't think the shares thing is for me, if I'm honest.
No, it is. It is, Steve. You've just got to make some better decisions.
Steve? You have to actually know the name of the company you're investing in. Start with that for the first bit of research, yeah? Because for a long time, we didn't know whether you were talking about Atlas or Atlantis or what the heck you were talking about. We don't know. Do you know how many shares you own, Steve, or what you own?
A couple.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, by the way, good news on my talk about that was, Steve, the second trade. I didn't do enough research on it. Second trade in my version one of my £1 million penny stock punt.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I gave it up. Surely you know that. I said that it's died. I said that it's died.
Yes.
So I've gone for version two, and now I know a lot more about penny stocks and all that stuff. And there's five criteria stocks I fit. Keffi Minerals is the first one in my version one. I'm up around 90% now on that. I'm 10% away from
about 60%. I bought just after you on that one, but nice, it's good. Yeah. It's good, and they've got that funding now from the government in the Ethiopian government of 20 million, isn't it?
So they've got not the actual mine funding. So they've had the Ethiopian government did say they'd invest between 15 and 20, and they've invested 20 million. But now they're gonna they're waiting for funding from the syndicate to build a mine, and that should come in quarter three at last. It could be even quarter. It won't be quarter two now because we're in quarter three, aren't we? So quarter three. And when that goes, it'll go through the ceiling. But if you look at the chart there, it's performing very well, the chart. We've now got a golden cross on the chart. So, 10% away. But I think this could be one of the stocks where I have to manage what I'm doing here, because I think it'll blow past 0.7 easily.
So
I may have to, when it blows past it and I put a stop loss in there, so it won't go less than that. But I'll hold on, I think.
Yeah.
I'll hold steady. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm going to do.
Lovely. All right, then.
Steve, you're not on that one?
No.
Right.
Any reason why, Steve?
They've got no cash.
Okay, right. I'm not got available fans.
No.
My fans not available. Right. So listen, there'll always be opportunities. Keep these, while you're waiting, do research, that's all you need to do. Do research, and then, if you like it, jump in later, because it'll always, no stock goes straight up. You imagine charts going straight up there. Literally no chance of jumping at all. So jump in. No.
Be easier, wouldn't it, Steve?
Just put your money in. It's like an elevator. Up it goes. Yeah. There we are. And every now and again, it stops. At a start. Then someone gets out. In you go. And that's of course. All elevators make that noise. Would be good if you got that. The higher you got, the higher pitch the noise goes. Anyway, check out Billions. It's a recommendation by Steve. And if I were you, I download. I look on iPlayer for Queen of Versailles. It's very good. Very slashy.
Queen of Versailles.
Oh, it's embarrassing. Isn't it? A Queen of Hurt's Eye. Yeah.
A Queen.
She's got a very hurty eye.
Yeah. And alas.
Yeah, yeah. Versailles.
And alas.
Do you know what Versailles is, Steve?
No.
Well, listen. Look up Louis XIV, France, and his missus, Mrs. Antoinette, the Sun King. They built this massive palace in Versailles, just outside Paris. It's massive. It's symmetrical. Huge. This American couple saw it and thought, we'll build one of those in America. And so that's what it's like, you know. It took like 35,000 people to build there, the Louis XIV, and about 10,000 people died during the building of it. But it was completely ostentatious, and this woman wants to be, you know. So it's not Herzai. If you search for Herzai, you won't get it, okay? Versailles, V-E-R-S-A-I-L-L-E-S, yeah? All right, check it out, Steve. Any more, any TV recommendations for you, Pete, before we leave?
Pete. Nothing, actually. I've got no TV recommendation. The news. There you go.
Is that the normal news?
I tend to watch it on catch-up.
Okay. And it's good to see there's been a Brexit-free zone this week, because I think we've...
exhausted that.
Yeah, we'll get back onto that next week. All right, lads, have a nice weekend, yes?
Yes, you too. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.